Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And thank you, Father, for helping us and giving us grace and exhortations in these revelations that lead us to some conclusions here. We thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Your motivation should be in the midst of this, Lord, to bless your people. So we thank you for that too, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to call this a man-child born of the Philadelphia bride. And I'm going to share this from Christine Beadsworth, this dream. She said, I dreamt that a woman I knew was going to have a baby by cesarean section. And when I rushed to her side to support her, she had already had a natural birth after a labor of only 2 hours. I held the baby boy for a long time and gazed at his face. He was very mature and could already speak, and I discovered that he had 8 fingers on his right hand. The 8th finger branched off the 6th finger. Well, the Lord gave me the interpretation of this years ago. A baby by cesarean section implies a birth by the works of man, which will not happen to this firstborn fruit of Christ in these days called the man-child. And like this dream shows, we all start out in the works of man, but through our faith in God, we come to this place of this stage that's being spoken about here. The right hand is the hand that blesses the firstborn, which Jacob put upon Ephraim, meaning in Hebrew the fullness of nations. And Ephraim was a type of the church of all nations. He was the second-born son of Joseph as a type of Jesus, which received a double portion of the firstborn son, Israel's blessing. So we see that Ephraim got the double blessing that Manasseh should have received. However, we have this type in the Bible several times. And basically the church is the situation that we're talking about here. When Jesus came, this happened, and his anointing, which in large part was rejected by Israel, fell upon the born-again church, the first group to fully manifest the church, meaning called out ones, is the bride, who John said were the first fruits disciples of Jesus, the man-child. So we must come out from the sins of the 6 churches by faith to be in the Philadelphia bride. Ephraim represents the church in the process of coming out of all nations. The 6th finger is the 6th church spoken of in Revelation, the Philadelphia, or brotherly love church. And out of this will come the man-child, whose number is 8, which represents new beginnings, and that the flesh of their old man is cut off on the 8th day, right? The gematria for Jesus is 888. The man-child is the first fruits to be born in his image. So the 7 fingers also represent 7 spiritual shepherds that are sent by the man-child to minister to the 7 churches, which is mentioned in Hidden Manna for the End Times. First, Jesus is coming to be manifested in the man-child ministry. Micah 5:2 says, But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, which art little to be among the thousands of Judah, out of thee shall one come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Now, obviously, this is Jesus. Verse 3 goes on to say, therefore will he give them up until the time that she who travaileth hath brought forth. Then the residue of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. So Jesus left because of rebellion, and will return in the man-child reformers who are born of the travailing woman of Revelation 12. And through them the remnant shall return to Israel, a type of the church. So this is going to bring all of the people of God together and start them maturing in the education given by the man-child. And as Jesus fed the former reign woman in a body of flesh, so he will feed the latter reign woman in a corporate body of flesh, because now Israel, spiritual Israel, is the whole world, right? So as individually Jesus couldn't reach the whole world, he became a corporate body in the New Testament, and through them he can reach the world. Micah 5 and 4 says, and he shall stand and shall feed his flock in the strength of the Lord and in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. So the Jesus of the former reign was revered by the disciples and feared by his enemies. But because of apostasy, this has not been true for many centuries. The man-child and the disciples who follow in his steps will restore this. And he shall be great unto the ends of the earth. The man-child's teaching will bring peace to the seven churches that are at war with the beast. And this man shall be our peace. When the Assyrians shall come into our land, we've had that parable many times, the attack of the Assyrians, how that they took out the northern 10 tribes but could not take out the bride. And so we can see who conquered them. It was the bride, Jerusalem, that conquered them. Okay. This man shall be our peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land and shall tread in our palaces. Then shall we raise up against him seven shepherds and eight principal or princes among, the Hebrew actually says, eight princes among men. Seven shepherds, but eight princes among men. And the corporate body of the man-child is this man who brings peace to the corporate woman with his teachings that enable her to resist the beast invasion. And he brings peace because the Prince of Peace is in his heart. That's the eighth princes among men here. Eighth one of the princes among men. So spiritually speaking, we find that the land and the palaces that the corporate beast is trying to invade, 1 Corinthians 3 and 9, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's husbandry. And the word husbandry here in Greek is tilled land. God's building, another parable being thrown in there, okay? The palaces, in other words. You know about the church's palaces, right? And we shall see the beast is a corporate spirit from the abyss, Revelation 17 and 8, that inhabits the body of the wicked, and wicked in the church too, by the way. And three, seeks to inhabit the righteous and mark them. Well, notice that the Assyrians are called him, which shows that they are seen as the corporate body of the beast. And since the Assyrian beast kingdom passed away over 600 years before Christ, they could not have been connected with Jesus or the man-child. Therefore, God, as usual, was using the beast of that day to represent a particular aspect of the end-time beast. And as the Assyrian beast did not conquer Jerusalem, so the end-time beast will not conquer those spiritually abiding in the New Jerusalem, which is called the Bride. The New Jerusalem, of course, is born from above, the Bible says. So that's not old Jerusalem. It's not born again from above. Micah 5:5 says, "Then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 princes among men." The man-child Jesus raised up 12 apostolic shepherds, primarily to restore those of the 12 tribes of Israel who would listen, actually. We can see that in Matthew 10:5 and Acts 26:7 and James 1:1 and 1 Peter 1:1. In exact parallel, the corporate man-child will raise up 7 corporate apostolic shepherds, primarily to restore the 7 churches. The man-child's primary job is to feed the unleavened bread of the Word to disciples in order to manifest Christ in them. And these will be the new leadership of the 7 churches in the last 3.5 years. So these 7 shepherds are not sectarian religious leaders, but one man in Christ, and are inhabited by one Prince of Peace. There's the 8th, right? Jesus. Hence, 8 princes among men. We will see that even after the man-child Jesus' 3.5 year ministry, he promised to be with the shepherds in spirit unto the consummation of the age. Greek is Matthew 28:20. Hence, 8 princes among men. So these princes are sons of the king, and have authority over his realm of the 7 churches. The 7 churches of Revelation are a type of 7 different types of Christians in the church. Isaiah 4:1 says, "And 7 women," representing the church, "shall take hold of one man in that day." There it is again. The one man here is Jesus manifested in the man-child ministry. And then he will be manifested in the 7 shepherds, and then in the true church. One of God's solutions to apostasy in the church is new leadership, obviously. A lot of pastors are pretty proud of their, you know, documents and letters behind their names and so on and so forth. But they won't receive these things. But the people who have nothing to support, nothing to defend, will receive. Isaiah 1:26 says, "And I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning." The same type counselors in the former reign will be given in the latter reign. Amen. And here's another confirmation of the man-child giving his revelation to 7 shepherds, who passed it on to the 7 churches. When the man-child Jesus sent his shepherds out, he called them apostles, meaning one sent forth. In other words, the shepherds were the man-child's messengers to the churches. As a type of the man-child, John on the Isle of Patmos was a partaker with you in the tribulation. Revelation 1 and 9 is that text, okay? And when he was caught up to the throne of God and given a revelation of the coming tribulation to give to the seven churches. Chapter 4, verse 1. After these things I saw, and behold, a door opened in heaven. And the first voice that I heard, a voice as of a trumpet, speaking with me, one saying, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must come to pass hereafter. Now, you have to remember that. This was later, you know, this to come to pass hereafter. Straightway I was in the Spirit, and behold, there was a throne set in heaven, and one sitting upon the throne. So, like Jesus, he was given a revelation of the apostasy in the church and told to send it to the seven churches by the hand of seven angels. And who are messengers, right? And 1:11 says, what thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches. And to the angel of the church in Ephesus, and so with Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea, write. Angel, in these cases, is the Greek word angelos, meaning messengers, and is also used of ministers in the New Testament, for example, Luke 4:24-27, and 9:52. So this is leading us to a very wonderful revelation here. The equivalent Hebrew word in the Old Testament is translated messenger when speaking of priests in Malachi 2:7. John the Baptist and Jesus in Luke 3:1. And since it doesn't make sense that John sent revelation by angels, he must have sent it by seven minister messengers to the seven churches. So this is exactly what Jesus did as the man-child. He shared his revelation with minister messengers who shared it with the seven churches, right? So, here's an example. I believe that is true, and I believe it is witnessed, and we called it the church called Brotherly Love. And this was given to Mark Fritz. I woke up, and this question came to my mind. What church is the church that I'm visiting today? For the second time in relation to Revelation 2. I don't know why I asked this, but the Lord immediately said, number 3, which I discovered to be the church of Pergamos. They were rebuked for the Nicolaitan error of being lords over God's flock and the Balaam error of following idols, like a false Jesus, and feeding God's people what I call greasy grace doctrines. And I asked the Lord to show me if I should tell the pastor of this church, and he led me to Acts 8:9. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. Well, God makes these churches responsible when they get a word from the Lord, and when they disobey, of course, judgment comes. So God does do this, even though they won't listen, he does this. So I left the pastor a letter explaining what I thought the Lord was saying to this Word of Faith church. So many of these lack the crucified life, even though they preach faith. Without the crucified life, it is nothing. So why do things like this continually happen to me? Mark asked, and he said, my wife is tired of me having tough words for churches. She wants us to settle down in a church and find a good youth group for our kids. I asked the Lord to show me what I should say to this church if they don't repent. And I believe he said Ezekiel 14. Well, in this chapter, a strong delusion came upon those who set up idols in their heart, right? And then I asked the Lord what church Unleavened Bread Bible Study represented, and I heard number 6. I did not know Philadelphia was the 6th church. Philadelphia is the only church that was not rebuked, but was promised, I also will keep thee from the hour of trial. Philadelphia means love of the brethren. Philo, which means love, Adolphus means a brother. And it's interesting that Adolphus means first from the womb. Wow. A is alpha, first. Adolphus equals the womb. The man-child ministry will be the firstborn from the womb of the church, as we already know, right? Revelation 3 and 7 says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, and he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and none shall shut, and that shutteth and none openeth. In other words, I believe these keys represent the authority to bind and loose. Even though that's given to all of the church, very few can exercise it effectively. Verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee a door opened, which none can shut. So the wicked do try to shut this, but they failed, because it is written in the Word, that thou hast a little power, and didst keep my word, and didst not deny my name. Amen. If you deny the word, you deny the name, right? Verse 9. Behold, I give of the synagogue of Satan, and that's because they worship Satan, but they think he is God. I will give of the synagogue of Satan of them that say they are Jews, and they are not, but do lie. So they're not circumcised in heart, right? Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou didst keep the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of trial, that hour which is to come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And James 1 and 3 says, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. So patience in our faith will gain us everything from God, every provision he has given from the cross, right? The kind of faith seen in this Galatians text causes us to dwell in heavenly places in Christ. Galatians 2 and 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live. This is a good confession in the sight of many witnesses here. But Christ living in me, and that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. That's our good confession too, right? It's the gospel. Our text in Revelation 3:7-13 shows that the Philadelphia church will escape the hour of trial that would try them that dwell upon the earth rather than dwelling in heavenly places in Christ. You see, these are two opposing positions. And many of God's people are dwelling upon the earth where the dragon can crush them, as I received a dream many years ago. This church represents the bride who, like the Shulamite in Song of Solomon, the bride in Esther, and the bride in Psalm 45, will escape in the king's house on earth. And this is no pre-tribulation rapture, for the bride will raise up the virgins, as in all of these cases. Now, God doesn't raise up people to just snatch them out. He raises them up to do a work. We've got the Great Commission to do. When you get in a position to be manifesting Jesus, that's when you're ready to do the Great Commission, right? I believe the words to the churches in Revelations represents the condition of the seven churches. Some have not died to self at all and need a crucifixion. And some had died a little, but still have a long way to go. The tribulation will perfect those who are willing to go to their cross. In other words, for their crucifixion. Matthew 16:24 says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it." That's what we came for, just the same as our Lord Jesus, to lose our life and to find that resurrection life, right? So, back to Revelation 3:11. I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no one take thy crown. Obviously, people are giving up their crown through the lusts of their flesh. And he that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go out thence no more, meaning he will constantly abide continually in Jesus, the Word, right? And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is, of course, the bride, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. In other words, the bride is born from above. We are all called in John chapter 3 to be born from above, but the bride actually is being completed in that order. And mine own new name, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Amen. Well, I'm going to share this revelation too, along with my interpretations. Greg Moser received this on 5/21/16, and we called it Love Tested to Be in the Ark of Escape. Yes, it will be tested to see if you're in the Philadelphia church, you know, that will escape all these things. I dreamed I was with a group of people. We had just gone through some very challenging circumstances in which I felt we had escaped with our lives. Well, we escaped the faction dismemberment that took the spiritual and sometimes physical lives of those that were not accounted worthy to be in the bride. I was unable, he said, to remember the details of what took place, but I knew that it was cataclysmic in nature and that we had survived and made it through. Well, the faction demons and the witchcraft that comes on these people who fail the love test, it is cataclysmic. It ruins them, ruins their family, destroys everything that they ever learned about the Lord. It is cataclysmic. We had overcome in the faction test of brotherly love. Amen. So, Revelation 3 and 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, the bride, one of the seven daughters, like Moses' wife, right? So that's a type there. Write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and none shall shut, and shutteth and none openeth. So they have been given the key of David to bind and loose, open and shut, which you know Jesus had. I mean, he spoke as one with authority, and so will the man-child ministry in whom he lives by his word and by his spirit. Verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee a door opened, which none can shut. That thou hast a little power, and didst keep my word, and didst not deny my name. Behold, I will give of the synagogue of Satan of them that say they are Jews, and they are not. In the New Testament, you must be born again. You must be circumcised in heart. Born again is not just receiving that spirit which enables you to follow the Lord. Born again is in your soul, in your mind, your will, and your emotions, as Peter spoke about, right? Well, they're not Jews. They're not true Jews because they're not circumcised in heart, right? They claim to be Christian, but obey Satan. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Verse 10, because thou didst keep the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of trial. Amen. Well, God is love, and love is patient. James 1 and 2 says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations. This is where you can make the decision whether you want more of God or more of the flesh, right? Knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. Wow. Patience in your faith will get you everything. So let's go back to 10 again. That hour which is to come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So this is for the Bema seat, meaning the footprint tribunal. Yeah. And this is all talking about, did you walk? You're being judged by, did you walk as he walked? The footprint tribunal. The wicked will be without excuse, for all their evil is recorded. And verse 11 says, I come quickly, hold fast that which thou hast, that no one take thy crown. There's plenty of people out there trying to take your crown. Religious people, maybe well-meaning religious people who want to deceive you with their doctrines. The beast itself wants to test you with the lusts of the flesh. Don't let anybody take your crown. Verse 12 says, he that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out thence no more. In other words, he will continually abide in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I will write upon him the name of my God. Name means nature, character, and authority. These people will have the nature of Christ, the character of Christ, and the authority of Christ. Much of the church has rejected that totally. So, and of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, and that identifies them as the bride, which cometh down out of heaven, born from above, through obedience to the word. The word is the seed, The sower sows the seed of the word in the hearts of men to bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold, right? From my God and mine own new name. Amen. So, he went on to say, we ended up on a ship that seemed to be a safe haven for survivors. Yeah. Well, this ship is the Ark of Safety and Preservation, is a refuge for those who pass the faction test of brotherly love. And the Lord showed us this refuge through many dreams, visions, prophecies, and scriptures. All on board were grateful to be there. Well, amen. Myself, as well as a woman whom I do not know, were there tending to a group of children, getting them settled in on the ship. Both the spiritual and the physical children of the obedient righteous are favored of the Lord. Proverbs 20 and 7 says, a righteous man that walketh in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. Many destroy their children, sacrificing them to the fire. So Psalm 112 and 2 says, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. There it is. The generation of the upright. Genesis 6 and 18, but I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. That shows you salvation of the family, right? 7 and 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Notice, because Noah was found righteous, he told them, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Wow. So, in 19 and 12, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whomsoever thou hast in this city? Bring them out of the place. Well, there it is again, household salvation. And it is true whether people receive it or not. If you don't walk consistently with the Lord, you can lose this. Yes, because you can see this is a promise to the upright. And 1 Corinthians 7 and 14 says, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified in the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified in the brother. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. So a sanctified person can bring forth sanctified children, right? And the whole Bible is full of these verses, okay? As we were doing this, we were talking about all the things that we had just gone through. In other words, learning how to escape being devoured by the faction dragon through faith and obedience to the Word. I literally saw the faction dragon once in a vision in the night, attempting to destroy people with his words. The woman was concerned about the threat of some aspect of what he had just survived. I said, I don't think we need to be as concerned about that as much as them. So the factious are rejected from the ark of Jesus and threatened by coming judgment, and not like those who are permitted to remain in the ark. And as I said this, I was looking either out a window or maybe off the deck of the ship, and I saw a large crowd of people standing there wanting to get on board, but they could not. They were all visibly sick and desperate to get on board. Well, the faction want to escape the coming judgments, but they cannot without repentance. Either the ship had not yet left the dock, or we were still really close to the land, and there was security measures that had to be met before anyone could step foot on the ship. So everybody on the ship has to pass the test of brotherly love. Faction cannot abide in the ark in Jesus' name. It was then that we realized that there had been an outbreak of a disease or virus, that all those people were sick and contagious. You hear that? I don't know how many dreams we've had of people who fell into faction dying of a disease. And the Lord has told us that they're going to be judged that way. They looked very sick and unhealthy, just like the faction people who are also spiritually sick and contagious to those who live in sin or do not pass the test of love, right? And Galatians 5 and 9 says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And be not deceived, evil companionships corrupt good morals. Therefore, the Lord can't allow these people in the ark. So it was at this time that the woman was tending to some children when a young black girl walked up to her and just started acting very crazy and threatening. The ship is spiritual, and this black girl is spiritual. She represents one who walks in darkness and not in light. And 1 John 1 and 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. These people can't have fellowship with righteous people. They just can't. They're demon-possessed. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. She was very obviously sick with the virus. She became aggressive towards the woman. The aggression that they feel is that the demons that infest them want to take out the righteous. So the woman pulled out a can of mace or pepper spray or something and sprayed her in the face. The black girl ran off. We realized that she was sick and had somehow gotten through security and gotten on the ship to evidently test somebody, right? So this has happened as a test for those on the ship, but it will be less and less as the infected leave the ship. And they have been doing that, leaving behind a sanctified bride. Because the bride as a whole can't be sanctified as long as these people are among them, right? So God is separating the wheat from the tares. Then the scene changed, and I was back in my home in Nebraska where I grew up. Yeah, in his father's house, right? Praise the Lord. There was a black kitten that got into the house. And this represents that rebellion against the word and darkness that got into Father's house and must be thrown out, right? And Greg went on to say, it was really playful and seemed harmless. I was thinking of the viral outbreak in the earlier part of the dream and had a thought that possibly the kitten had been exposed to it and could possibly be contagious. Yeah, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Cats represent self-will, stubbornness, so on. My thought was to get it out of the house before anyone got bitten or scratched. I tried to grab it, but it ran. Well, when these demons are exposed, they always get offended and run. And of course, they take their human hosts with them. The tares are being bundled together to burn, as the Lord said. birds of a feather flock together, right? And they do. Eventually, I cornered it and decided to just grab it and to get it out of there. And I found myself thinking that I would rather take the risk of getting bitten myself than for someone else to get bitten. And I grabbed the kitten, and sure enough, it scratched and bit me in the process. And let me say that as long as a person obeys the commands of God by faith in Him, they are immune. Demons must have legal rights, which is permission from God, as in Job, or disobedience to the word, right? And the Bible tells us very plainly, Titus 3:10-11, a factious man after a first and second admonition refuse. If you don't obey this, you will get taken out by their words. They have power. Those words have power, and they're given authority when you disobey. Verse 11, knowing that such a one is perverted and sinneth, being self-condemned. Yes, they condemn themselves. And Romans 16:17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the divisions and occasions of stumbling, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and turn away from them. For they are such, serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly. And by their smooth and fair speech they beguile the hearts of the innocent. 2 John 8, look to yourselves that you lose not the things which we have wrought, but that you receive a full reward. And whoso goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. If anyone cometh unto you and bringeth not this teaching, receive him not into your house and give him no greeting. This is, in other words, you just cut them off. You have to do that because it's obedience. For he that giveth him greeting partaketh in his evil works. Notice, if you give him greeting, those works of his will come on you. Uh-oh. James 3:16. For where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion and every vile deed. This is a fact. The most corrupt people on the face of the earth have faction in them. And then Greg said, I woke up. And now I'm going to share Claire Pienaar's Revelation 9:19-22. The ark of God is the saints. I dreamed that there was a large wooden ship on very rough seas during a storm, representing the ark of the saints that is above the curses of this world. You know, as Noah's ark was, right? The water represented the curse of death, right? And we will see this more as we go on. Then I saw how this ship was made. It came together beam by beam from light that I knew to be the light of the saints. Well, this is representing the righteous acts of the saints, which is the lampros garment, the wedding garment, the lampros garment, which means not just white, but glowing, as in Revelation 19 speaks of it. And then from the ship, David Eels appeared, and also a male lamb. Well, I believe David represents the David man-child reformers who have befriended and taken advantage of the example and the sacrifice of Jesus, who is the male lamb. And these are the first fruits which God uses to sanctify the saints in the tribulation period. Amen. So in the tribulation, the saints first conquer their flesh so that their personal promised land is healed. Our physical life, which came from the dirt, is where the seed of Christ is sown in order to bring forth Christ in you. And this process is to bring forth the fruit, which is the spiritual man. And these are, as those who go into the ark, are God's heavenly land of rest. For Noah, in Hebrew, means rest. The people in the rest, and that you get there by faith in the promises of God. You cease from worrying, struggling, striving. You enter into rest when you believe the promises of God. So believe them all. As Noah went through the 7 days in type, so the righteous will conquer themselves in their own tribulation. And after the tribulation of the last trump, the world itself becomes their physical promised land. For instance, Revelation 11 and 15 says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there followed great voices in heaven." That's the last trump, right? "And they said, the kingdom of the world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ." Wow. Okay. And Matthew 5 and 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." So when this world also becomes the saints' kingdom, then they can conquer the enemies in the earthly promised land. The wicked will be under their feet in judgment, just as it was with Noah. In Malachi 4 and 3 says, "And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I make, says the Lord of hosts." Ashes under the soles of your feet. These who have persecuted and criticized and slandered the righteous are going to be ashes under the soles of their feet. "The stone which the builders rejected became the head." Mm-hmm. So I asked the Lord for a verse by faith at random and received Psalm 44, 7, and 8. "But you have saved us from our enemies, and you have put them to shame and humiliated those who hate us. In God we have boasted all the day long, and we will praise and give thanks to your name forever." And Rion, Claire's husband, said, "The ark of God is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High." The secret place is the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory, and living that life now by faith in Christ. And it is through this life Christ in the man-child David reformers is manifested. And these are spiritual fathers through whom Jesus will bring forth much fruit. You know, Paul said, "You have not many fathers. I begat you through the gospel." And even today, Christians who have been Christians for many years are learning more and more about the gospel. It is the good news of what God has done. Amen. And 1 John 1 and 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin." Amen. How awesome, Lord, and how motivating this is. Lord, we so much need your grace every day. We ask you to fill us with the gift of faith. We behold in the mirror of the Lord, and so we know we have his faith. We have his righteousness. We have his love. We have everything given to us. We just have to choose it as we go, because we are offered a choice of going forward or going backward. If you keep going forward and backward, you don't bear fruit. If you go forward, you bear fruit. So thank you, Father, for doing this for us. Thank you for blessing us and delivering us from all evil. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints.